Blog Talk Radio.
Okay, and good evening, everyone, and welcome to Keeping It Reals, one of the coolest, if not the coolest, internet radio show that caters to geekdom. Why did I just say one of? Because you know what? I'm trying to be charitable, because truthfully, there are times I think we kick the proverbial ass of every other geekdom podcast radio show out there. Of course, you know, like I said, I try to be humble. My parents raised me to be humble. Of course, sometimes I lose my humility and just like throw it in the trash and hit the compactor button or the blender button or whatever. Isn't that right, Trish?
Oh yeah, that's totally right.
Yeah. Yeah. But you know what? Enough about me. Today I believe we have said we're taking a little trip on the Wayback Machine, aren't we?
Oh, I hope so.
Yeah, we're talking nostalgia. You know, talking about stuff we used to enjoy way back when we were kids. Well, not way back. I'm not that old. Yeah, I know what
you're thinking. Well, you're older than me.
Not by that much, okay? This is not May December, okay? This is more like October. This is more like October, December. Don't you forget it.
Hmm.
You're older than me.
Keep telling yourself that. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. don't make me come over there. Oh dear me. But yeah, talking nostalgia, and you know it's actually nostalgia. This is going to sound weird because it feels like nostalgia has been at the forefront of pop culture for quite a while. You know, it could just be me. Could just be that, you know, as I get older, I kind of start to notice, callbacks to things. It could just be that there's a general sort of, I don't know, feel to kind of go back to something. I still kind of remember when VH1 did all those, you know, I love the 70s, I love the 80s, and you had a bunch of celebs and quasi-celebs kind of come on and be like, oh yeah, I remember that. You know, did you ever watch those, Trish?
Yeah, I did watch those. I don't remember them so well, but I do remember watching like the I Love the 80s, and you know, of course that's when we were children, you know, and so it was like watching it and going, oh, I remember that. I had one of those.
Yep.
You know,
of course I also kind of watched those shows, and then, you know, they had like no offense to her, but they had Mandy Moore on, and I'm like, you know, for some of this stuff, you were like the size of a microbe. How the heck can you remember that?
They would have these younger people on there that it's like you were like born in the late 80s. How are you saying that you remember this stuff? Yeah, it didn't make sense to me.
I mean, okay, maybe we could be charitable and say that, you know, certain people who were born in the late 80s that they were talking to, they kind of got the stuff handed down. You know, I'm like number four out of five kids. You know, Vicky is younger than I am, so she got some stuff that was mine, and she got stuff that belonged to my big sisters. So yeah, it is possible for her to remember some stuff that may predate. You know, so maybe that's the thing, but I just, I don't know. It's like I know that when we were, you know, during the 80s, you did have the show The Wonder Years, which went back to the 60s. I think there were a couple of projects that took place in the 70s, like back in the 90s, but I just feel like within the past, oh yeah, I can't believe I'm saying this. I just feel like within the past 20 years or so that there's been a heavier influx of going about a decade or two decades ago. I mean, is it
oh,
just
yeah.
me or?
Well, it seems like in the 90s, like maybe the early 90s and maybe in the late 80s and stuff, nostalgia wasn't really in. It wasn't cool. It was old. That's what it was considered old. It wasn't considered cool. And then at some point, it all of a sudden, retro became cool. And it's kind of stayed that way. It's never really gone back the other way. It's, you know, if it's retro, it's cool for the most part.
Yeah. Yeah, no, that does seem to be the case. You know, and actually something that I did want to bring up as part of this show is Ready Player One. You know,
wonderful movie. So
oh yeah,
good.
No, definitely. And by the way, to anybody listening, going, hey man, why aren't you going to review that? Okay, there's a lot of stuff going on, so we decided not to do a review. Believe me, I want to review it. We might get to it. Okay, who knows? Maybe when it comes out on home video, we'll do a special home video review. But you know, just please don't start.
Well, I want to wait for the home video review so we can watch it and we can pause it and go through everything so we can find out the Easter eggs.
You know what? That'll probably take all night. That's one of those that we're just going to have to like. We're going to have to post on social media. We'll see you in 12 hours. We're going to be making sure to find every Easter egg in Ready Player One.
I know. It's like I saw on the Nerdist, they posted a video where someone had listed all the Easter eggs they could find, and they were at like 138, I think. And even then, they didn't list some ones that we saw. So.
Yeah.
Yeah. So there's
But it's like, The thing with here's the thing. Ready Player One has been doing really well at the box office. It's gotten some good reviews. I've seen other reviews that basically rag on it for kind of being a little too referential. But do you think, you know, we've seen it twice. We saw it once in 3D, which, oh my God, I think my eyes orgasmed.
Oh, that's gross.
But yeah, we saw it twice, the second time in 3D. But my question is, do you think maybe the nostalgia plays a part in the success of Ready Player One?
Oh, probably. Because I've been trying to think, because I know you proposed that question to me earlier today, and I was trying to think of, you know, does it? And then I was just thinking of the movie, and if it didn't have all the references, would I still like it? And, you know, I mean, if it was the same movie without all the references, I think I still would like it, but it just makes the movie just more enjoyable, you know, to have things that you know and love in there. And But I think as the story itself, it could stand well on its own without all the references. I don't know. I haven't read the book, so I'm not sure if the book has those kinds of references or not.
Yeah, from what I understand, you know, because I've never read the book either, but from my understanding, it is also very reference heavy, but it draws from like a different pool of references. It's not the same stuff.
Ah.
You know, I seem to remember hearing somewhere that like they didn't in the book. It's not the Iron Giant. That's like the giant robot that H uses. It's the Japanese giant robot Manzinger, and that there's just a lot more references and a lot more like literary references. So, it's things like that, like, you know, drawing more from literary, but see, for me, Ready Player One is Ready Player One could probably be enjoyed on its own, but it seems to me, see, because for all the people who are kind of like ragging on the references, you know, kind of like they bring up whatchamacallit, they bring up like South Park and the Remember Berries. You know, for all the people that kind of do that, that kind of rag on things, I feel like the references actually, that's what kind of helps the movie. That's what kind of, you know, gives the movie a lot of its standing, because you could just not have references or try to do references that are kind of like, well, this looks like the 66 Batmobile, but it really doesn't. You know, that kind of thing, like, oh, instead of, you know, having to call something out, you know.
I don't like half-done references. The Simpsons were really big on that. They didn't want to pay for the rights to reference something, you know, correctly. So they would change it just enough so that you knew what they were talking about, but we weren't exactly saying it. And that always pissed me off, because it's just like, oh, come on. Say it's Harry Potter. You know, just say it's Harry Potter. Don't give it, you know, some stupid name. Yeah.
Well,
that's always kind of ticked me off. I would have hated the movie if it had been like that. If it had actual references, I think I would have truly hated the movie.
Yeah. Well, part of it. See, the thing is, and this is what, you know, this is what kind of, you know, this is one thing. It's like, there is, you know, you said it. There is sometimes a monetary value, like put on, you know, put on referencing something, you know, or being allowed to use something. And now with The Simpsons, sometimes I am kind of, you know, I kind of give a little bit of slack, because it's one thing, you know, it's also another thing if you're going to parody it. Like you're having kind of, like you're making fun of something, and, you know, so you're having sort of this, I don't know, like just, you're trying to, you know, you're just like poking fun of it. So you have like, you know, this funny version of it. Like that's one thing, but
A parody, I don't mind. It's when they're not parodying it to be funny. They're using it on purpose, but they don't want to, you know, they're using it for a certain purpose that's not really comedy related. And they just didn't want to shell out the money to pay for the actual right. Well, you know, like for example, in The Simpsons, Sherry Bobbins. You knew it was Mary Poppins, but I could totally accept that because it was too funny. Yeah.
Yep. Yeah. Well, and they even kind of called it out. They even kind of called out and said, nope, I'm an entirely different character, and proceeded to call out two names that sound like they're poking fun at what's it called? You know, Mickey Mouse and Donald Duck.
Yeah.
But yeah, but I think Ready Player One definitely it I think survived, and it's interesting because I think about it and it feels like, you know, if you really pay attention, the world within the film thrives on this sort of nostalgia and thinking about the stuff that gets referenced, the stuff that gets called out. Like that's sort of the whole idea of thinking about something else. This is taking it to, like, the extreme. This is taking it, you know, this is taking it to, like, the inevitable conclusion where it's just, this is life. Just a ton of references.
Yeah. But I love nostalgia. I don't know. I like anything retro. I think it's fun. And to me, nostalgia also has a certain amount of escapism to it, because, you know, you get to go to a simpler time, I guess you could say. And sometimes I just long for that.
Yeah. But you know what? The thing is, though, is that nostalgia, I think, is like a double-edged sword. Because, yeah, you long for something from a bygone era, but, you know, you long for it, but then on the other hand, it's almost like, sometimes it can kind of be like, are you, you know, are you remembering something that is not, that's not there, that you're kind of filling, that you're kind of like, you know, filling in that it was, you know, that, oh, it was better when maybe there's some stuff that was not.
Romanticizing the past.
Right. Exactly.
Yeah. No, that can happen to you, but sometimes life is so crazy and boring or terrifying and annoying that you want that. You want to escape for a little bit, and so you put in an old movie or watch an old television show, and you think, oh wow, look how simple life was back then before it got all crazy and all the technology and everything. I mean, I'm assuming there was, you know, just, you know, probably the same amount of problems, just different problems, you know? And so.
Yeah. But I mean,
know.
It's, you know,
and
not,
also
well,
when you're a kid, you don't really know what's going on all the time.
Yeah. Well, it's like, okay, taking out of pop culture for a second. It's like, you know, let me hang on to that thought, because we are joined right now by Zion.
Hello.
How's it going? You know, of course, for those of you who don't know, Zion was also a member of Marku 42. But Marku 42 is going on its wilderness journey. We've kind of scooped him up. He's now part of our Keeping It Reals, Let's Be Reals team. How you doing, Zion? How's it going?
Good, good, good. Wonderful at the moment. How about yourself and everybody else here?
Oh, we're doing good. Actually, I was talking. You know, Trish and I were talking, and you know, I'd love to get your input. You know, we're just talking about the concept of nostalgia and how it can be, you know, a double-edged sword. Like, yeah, you remember stuff when you were a kid, and it's like, oh wow, yeah, that was cool. But then also, like, there's also a certain way how in real life, you try to remember, you know, when you think, oh, things were better, but are you kind of putting blinders on? The example I would give is, you know, sometimes you hear people and they're going, you know, well, I want my America back. And it's like, okay, well, but what are you talking about exactly? You know, it could be somebody much older and, you know, it's like, well, what about in the 50s? Things were simpler back then. And I just kind of want to be like, what about the fact that, number one, we were paranoid about the communists infiltrating and killing us. You still had segregation. You know, you had, I mean, yeah, you had the post-war boom, but there's some stuff that you're kind of, you know, there was also McCarthyism, which comes out of the whole Red Scare thing, where you had people who lost their jobs and lost their livelihoods because somebody pointed to them and said, well, I saw you do this, and that makes you a communist, and you hate America. You know, it's like, I don't know, maybe it's because I didn't live that time, but that doesn't sound so simple and joyful. You know, and you kind of have to wonder, in this case, is that an example of nostalgia kind of, you know, you're thinking better about something that wasn't so good?
Well, like, it all comes down to the topic, in all honesty, because, like, if you're looking at it from a social standpoint, like, for example, me, I am very much into our space program. People who was alive in the 60s through the 70s and 80s are very nostalgic and look at those times, specifically the 50s, late 50s through late 60s, as the golden age of NASA. So, like, when it comes down to, like, certain, you can have nostalgia for certain things and have blinders, but if it's actually grounded, like if the nostalgia for it is justified, then there's nothing wrong with it.
Interesting. Okay. Well, on that, you know, on that note, where would you say, like, what would you say justifies nostalgia? Like, what's the criteria for justifying it?
Just remembering things. Of course, it can't be, what, 3 weeks ago or maybe 3 months, but, years, maybe even decades and whatnot. Like, it's that type of thing, if you've seen it and you haven't seen it for, a while, and you look at it, oh, my God, look at that. It's like that. That's what justifies us nostalgia, in my opinion.
Okay, so what would you... Okay, so, Trish, what do you think about what Zion just said?
Oh, I agree. I don't know.
Yeah.
I don't. Do we have to justify nostalgia?
No.
Just enjoy it for what it is.
Yes.
Well,
that's the whole point of it.
I would say. As far as justifying is concerned, I would say that, yeah, there would be that kind of component, especially if we're talking socioeconomic historical, where I don't know if I'd use the word justify, but that you do have to kind of find out, okay, what is it that you're trying to remember with such joy? And, is it kind of just you cherry picking from memory and kind of leaving out some sort of, kind of leaving out the grime and just focusing on the gloss.
I think over time, you depending on the situation, you either forget the good or the bad. I mean, if it was a really, bad situation, then you forget if there was anything good that happened along with it. The same way with the other way, if it was a, happy occasion, and some things might have gone wrong, and you just don't remember those because people that are in the same situation with you remember stuff very differently. It's all
so kind of like, okay, so maybe kind of like the movie Inside Out.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly,
yeah,
where
okay,
one emotion, sees this memory as a happy emotion, happy memory, but and doesn't realize that there were bits of sadness in there too.
Hmm. Now, here's a question for the panel, so to speak. Zion, you brought up, it's not, the trick with nostalgia is also not, it's not something we were talking about 5 minutes ago. But what would you say, what would you guys say is, sort of, where's the cutoff point? At what point can you look at something and look at it with a sense of nostalgia? Zion, where would you say that kind of that starts?
It all depends. Cause I'd say years. Yeah, if I'm going to break it down into about a time frame, I'd say years.
Okay, what? Give me a number.
3.
Okay,
three,
so you'd
two.
Say the. Okay, so 2 to 3 years. Trish, what do you think?
Wait, repeat that.
Okay, if you in order for nostalgia to work, you can't be thinking about something that happened earlier in the day or a few minutes ago, but at what point can you look at something and say that you're looking at it with a sense of nostalgia? How much time has to pass?
Well, I guess it's different on everything. I mean, you look at your childhood with nostalgia, most of the time, and, but it depends on how old you are too, because I look at my 20s with nostalgia now,
Okay.
For
example, do you look at anything from do you look at something, anything from Zion's solid number was 2 to 3 years. would you say looking at something that happened 2 to 3 years ago that you'd be looking at with nostalgia?
Well, you're talking to a person. If you say something happened 2 to 3 years ago, I'm thinking the year 2000. So, you know, I mean, that's really where my brain goes. And then all of a sudden it pops back and it's like, oh, no, it's actually 2018. Holy crap. You mean 2 or 3 years ago was just 2015? Holy crap. No. I'm just starting. I guess I would say I'm just starting now to look at stuff that happened in the early to mid 2000s with nostalgia, because that's really right before technology exploded, because iPhone, you know, came out in what, 2006 or something like that? 2007? I don't remember.
Thereabouts. I mean, I can't remember exactly either, because I think my first iPhone was when we both bought iPhones together.
Actually, I think it was 2007, because I think they just had their 10-year anniversary or something a few months ago.
Yeah, something but about that.
Anyway, it was like, before that, when you had like your flip phone and, you know, no keyboard on your phone, you had to really want to text someone, you know.
Yeah.
And then that's the stuff I'm starting to look at with nostalgia. Anything like from there and before. But anything that comes after the iPhone, I really haven't gotten to that nostalgia point yet.
Yeah. I think I kind of find myself having the same problem as you, Trish, which is I'll look at something and I'll be like, wait, that happened 4 years ago? That happened, like, I even said it like at the top of the show, how I'm thinking about something and I'm like, wait a minute. We're already almost 20 years out from that. You know, when we're talking about the VH1 shows, and it's like, I stop myself and I'm like, wait a minute, what? You know, like, so, but I would say that I do look on stuff with, you know, I'm starting to look at least the early 2000s to about, I'd say about the same time, like the iPhone period, with that sense of nostalgia, because I think it is kind of coming into me that there has been a big passage of time. I think I just have to get my head wrapped around, you know, certain aspects that it has been over a decade since, you know, one or two things happened.
It's 2008.
Yeah. Well, I think about, well, you know, a good example, Zion, is I'm a huge G.I. Joe fan, and I've been one of the things I am is I'm a member of the Collectors Club, and I've only been to one of their conventions, and that was in 2011. That was 7 years ago, and I'm trying to wrap my head around the fact that it was 7 years ago, because I can still, in my head, I can still remember going to Orlando. I can remember the lobby of the Dolphin Hotel, and spending pretty much every night of the con in the lobby, just sitting with a whole bunch of people as we just talk, you know, we just BS, you know, we talk, we talk G.I. Joe, we talk a whole bunch of other shit, you know, just being able to do that. And it's like, I still feel that it was like a couple of years ago, but here it is over half a decade, and I'm just like, can't freaking believe it, you know. So that does bring up one thing that I did want to mention about nostalgia, and that's the fact that you know, it's, you do look on things, you know, from the childhood with kind of the rose-colored glasses. But I kind of find that one of the best ways to deal with nostalgia is to have a certain sense where you love something, but then you're also willing to kind of, you know, accept that, you know, it wasn't entirely perfect. A great example is, you know, my two big 80s loves, G.I. Joe and Transformers. I have the episodes on DVD. I have, like, the animated movies that came out. You know, I'll look at them and I'll enjoy them, but then I also, like, I'll start to see the animation errors here, you know, how this, you know, this kind of doesn't look as cool as maybe something animated today, but at least I'll be like, okay, all right, yeah, that was kind of, you know, okay, the plot of this G.I. Joe or this Transformers episode was kind of ridiculous. This was kind of stupid. This might not work nowadays, but you know what? It's cool. You know, it's not, I'm not that, you know, I'm like, okay, you know, that doesn't ruin it for me. You know, I accept it. I accept the good with the bad.
Yeah, like, I see where you're coming from. First off, I have to defend the first two seasons of Transformers are perfect. Get off those. But, like, yeah, like, I'd say, like, something from my childhood that I look back on that wasn't as good as I remember was, like, this show called My Life as a Teenage Robot. It was pretty much literally a show of, like, a teenage robot going through high school and whatnot. And, like,
yeah,
back then, it was amazing. I loved it. It was great. And I watched, like, a couple episodes, and it's still good, but it wasn't as good as I saw it back then. Disappointing,
yeah.
Yes. I understand why, though. But, yeah, it's
yeah,
essentially stuff like that.
Well, it's like, for me, I think I got that when Cartoon Network showed reruns of the original Thundercats. I remember being a kid and loving Thundercats, but when I saw the episodes rerun on Cartoon Network, I started to notice the voice acting was a little stilted. You know, things were not quite what I remembered, and I'm like, oh, wow, this is kind of, I don't know, I'm kind of, this is, you know, maybe a little bit of a letdown. Same thing kind of when watching anime that I used to watch as a kid and starting to notice, you know, attempts by the U.S. production team to kind of gloss over this or, you know, kind of gloss over things to make it, you know, make it acceptable to be a Saturday morning or, you know, weekday afternoon cartoon.
Oh my goodness.
You know,
I used to hate that. Like, in Yu-Gi-Oh, the card players, when, like, they lose, like, these very important duels, like, in the Japanese version,
yep,
they would die. But,
yep,
like, for it to be a Saturday morning cartoon, they changed that concept of death and hell to this thing called the Shadow Realm.
Yeah, exactly.
And,
yeah. I will send you to the Shadow Realm! Yeah. Yep. But, yeah, the other, you know, the one thing, though, I mean, a major thing about this episode, you know, I have, you know, it's kind of noticeable that a lot of stuff has been kind of brought back. You know, there is a lot of stuff. One thing, okay, pretty heavy on that list. There have been, you know, you have a whole bunch of shows that got brought back. You know, they bring the casts back or, you know, they do stuff like that. Something that's been in the news is the fact that, well, last year they brought back Will and Grace. You know, they actually had, I think it started, Trish, didn't it start with like an internet video?
Yeah, I believe so. Yeah, they did like a little short, and it went so well that, yeah.
And then the other thing I'm thinking of is most recently we've had the return of Roseanne. I know, like, yeah, you kind of can't trip over yourself without seeing a lot of, there's been like a lot of talk about that, you know, a lot of, you know, there's been some negative stuff, and it's a lot of it is kind of directed at Roseanne herself. Roseanne Barr, because she's made no bones about, you know, how she falls under certain political spectrums. Not
yeah,
to mention the fact that there's also been talk about how the show kind of doesn't seem to be touching on stuff that maybe it should. I watched the show when I was younger. Like, I wasn't like a huge fan, but I've watched episodes. Trish, I know you were a big fan of the show. Like, what do you think about its return?
Oh, I love it. I absolutely love it. It feels just like it never went away. It has the same vibe to it, the same feel, and I love it. And to me, it's showing, you know, exactly what life is like nowadays. Because it's, you know, people are so concerned it's going to be, oh, it's going to be this big, you know, Trump fest, Trump supporting show, you know, and it's not. Yes, Roseanne and her character, they are Trump supporters, but it only was mentioned in the first episode, and they never mentioned Trump by name. And,
yeah.
But then it also had the other side, which was her sister Jackie. You know, she obviously supports the left and everything, and they kind of have, you know, this argument about it and everything, but they never really said the candidates' names or anything, but you knew who they were talking about. But basically by the end of it, they just agreed to disagree, and they,
yeah.
you know, are going about their lives, and it hasn't been brought up again since in the show.
Yeah.
In the other episodes, they haven't mentioned politics at all. They're not even going there. It's like they're just deciding not to talk about it, which is exactly how a lot of families are. Because, you know, and just in my own family, most of my family, you know, are Trump supporters. Just me and my younger brother are the only opposition to that. And so we just don't talk politics with the other side of family. We just, you know, decided that it's just better not to, you know, because it's just going to end up starting fights, and nobody wants to fight. So
yeah. I think I know somebody. Yep. We'll see. I think I know somebody who is going to want to start something, because Iggy's been sitting in the corner for the past couple of minutes. I know. I know you want to get it all. You know, you want to get this whole thing started. So what do you think, Iggy? Well, first of all, did you ever watch the original Roseanne, or at least the first one?
Yeah. As a kid, I hated it. I absolutely hated Cheers, Roseanne, Wings. What other fucking boring show was there? Because I was a kid, so these were my parents' shows. Okay, so for me, it was just like, oh my god, I'm gonna go play with my Barbies. This is stupid.
Did you actually sound Valley Girlish as you did that?
It's probably in Spanish, like, you know. But
mommy, no quiero.
I don't want to. You can. I can never do nothing. You know, and it is literally now to the point that, you know, it'll come up on TV, and I'm like, oh. Shit, I remember this. And then it's surprising how many episodes I actually do remember. Like when you go on the reruns and you watch them again, you know, it's amazing how much I do remember, because I promise you, boo-boo, I would swear up and down that I was not watching or paying attention to this stuff because I hated it. Mom show. Like, I hated going to Home Depot. I hated going to Pier 1 Imports. Now I can't stay the fuck out of there. Like, I need to stay away because I spend too much money. It's just funny how things work out. Me personally,
yeah.
I'm excited about this because this is just the start of a trend that's about to, like, out. Okay, it's literally, you got throwbacks, you got Will and Grace coming back, you got Roseanne coming back. Pretty soon, you know, you're going to see other shows coming back up, and one that I want to see is, like, Friends. I want to see Friends come back. I want to see them come back just for a little bit. Okay, and I want the first episode for there to be some sort of argument and for Ross to say, we were on a break.
Oh,
okay?
God, no, no, no. I hated that. I hated that. I did not watch Friends for the longest time because I got sick of the Ross and Rachel thing. And I was just like I think the straw that broke the camel's back for me was when they went to, I think they went to Vegas, and Ross and Rachel got, like, drunk married, and then, you know, Rachel wanted to annul the marriage. You know, Rachel wanted to annul it. Ross didn't want to because if he did, he'd be a three-time loser. And I was just like, okay, you know what? I'm done. I'm out, bitches. I think I came back by the final season, and I did watch the final episode, and when they finally got together, I'm like, okay, good. And now the show's ending, so they can't fucking break up!
Because remember, when mommy tells you something about daddy, we were on a break.
Yeah,
I fucking love it.
Aye, aye, aye.
You know,
although
this brings up a very good question, though.
this brings up a very good question. What show would you want to see come back? What nostalgic show would you want to see?
Oh, geez. Well, I know, Trish, you got your wish, though. You did get your wish. Because Full House came back.
They can't bring back Golden Girls. That would be my other one, would be Golden Girls. They can't bring that one back.
I can't fucking stand Fuller House. I cannot. I can't handle it. I can't do it. I try watching it. I can't handle it. I cannot. It's not the same. It's not, like, you're trying to, if you're going to bring it back as its own thing. Don't bring it back like, oh, this is, you know, like, we're back. Because it's not. The girls are grown up. Everything's different. And I'm just, it's difficult. It's almost like, how do I describe this? I like the flavor. I don't like the texture.
Interesting. You know, I will say, Iggy, I mean, yeah, when we do watch Fuller House together, if I had any complaints or anything or any, like, critiques, it's that I do kind of wish that we would have, you know, sometimes I think there's, like, too many appearances by the dads, and there's a little too much involving the dads, because it's like, okay, why don't you let these girls kind of thrive on their own without, you know, Bob Saget coming in and going, "Hi, girls," you know.
But Eddie,
cut it out. Forget about
you're
it.
You're forgetting at the end of this last season. Remember, they all announced that they were basically moving back to that area, so they're going to be in it even more next season.
Yeah, I mean, hopefully they find a way to make it work out. I mean, I don't know. I just keep thinking back to something. A great example of, like, okay, we can't have nostalgia because this is too fresh would be Scrubs, the final season that it was on air. It's like the season before, they had actually ended the show. Zach Braff's character moved on. They kind of wrapped things up. And then it's like, we didn't even get a chance to breathe and be like, oh yeah, I remember that show when they had, like, this other season, which was kind of Scrubs the Next Generation, and you still had Zach Braff and, you know, you had Turk and you had some of the other characters from previously still around.
Yeah, dude,
while they're
Turk
trying to focus
and Dr.
on these
Cox
new ones.
Were the life of that fucking show.
Oh, yeah.
The life.
No, definitely.
Okay.
Definitely. But see, in this particular case, it kind of hurts because, number one, the show just ended, like, a year ago. A couple of months ago. So it's like, okay, we haven't had time for it to sit. We haven't had time for it to age like wine, where you bring it in and you go, oh, wow, yeah, I remember. Great to see it back. You know, the kind of the idea, you know, the idea that ended up coming up was like, man, you're still here? Get the fuck out! Get out! Party's over! God, okay, you can't go home, but you can't stay here. Here, do you want me to call you a cab? I will call you a cab. I'm going to call you an Uber right now. Get in the Uber. Get in the Uber. No, do not throw up in the carpet. Do not throw up in the carpet. Go to the bathroom. The bathroom's right there. It's right by the entrance. Go
okay,
throw up in there.
Okay, this right here is already giving me fucking PTSD. I'm supposed to be going out with the girls tonight, and I need you to not fucking do this to me right now, Eddie, okay? I'm supposed to be team captain here, all right?
Yeah, but I also like to do psychological mind fuckery. So, yeah, just if anything. Just,
well, I
yeah,
hope you're wearing protection because I have a dirty mind.
Oh, gee. Yeah, we know. I think everybody in the room, so to speak, knows you have a dirty mind, Iggy. Yeah, that's nothing. Nothing new. Nothing new. Jeez.
So to go based on this a little bit further, throwbacks, okay?
Yeah.
Obviously, you know, when it comes to trending material, if one does it, they all do it. Okay, they move or jump into the money pile and get a little piece of the pie. Okay, so we got Fuller House. It's, you know, from my understanding, started the trend. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not the first time. So they try to bring something back. It's just the first time that it was successful. Okay.
Yeah.
And it took off. And so from there, now we have Will and Grace, Roseanne, whatever, okay?
Yeah.
It's only a matter of time before we have, you know, like a bring back of Cheers, another very popular throwback back at the time, or even Golden Girls. And not even so much as going based on the Golden Girls or maybe their daughters or whatever, but still having that same caddy for friends.
Yep. I do, you know what, I do want to bring something up, though, because you do bring up something interesting. As far as shows like that, like, okay, we have stuff like Will and Grace and Roseanne and even
Seinfeld,
Fuller House.
Bet Seinfeld's going to come back. Fucking bet.
Right.
Seinfeld's going to come back, because all of those actors would be like, yeah, sure, we'll do it.
Please, God, no.
Well,
I think you do.
Well, I think, does anybody know if Veep has any plans to close up shop anytime soon? Because I think if you do bring back Seinfeld, you would have to probably get, you know, you would have to tell Julia Louis-Dreyfus, it's like, hey, I know that you're making mad money with HBO. Is there really a chance you could come back? Like, no offense to Jason Alexander or Michael Richards or even Wayne Knight, but I'm sure that if the phone rang for them, that they would be able to pick it up. You know,
I know one nostalgic show that will never come back.
Okay.
Knock on wood.
The Cosby Show.
God damn.
Ow.
God,
oh,
damn.
Man. Oh, ow.
Fuck.
Ow. Yeah, that,
oh,
yeah,
God,
that
no.
is, oh, geez. Yeah, that,
ready?
That was a good one.
Yeah, no,
oh
that,
God.
Yeah, I,
that was good.
I, yeah, no, I don't, you know, I don't see them doing a Cosby Show with him in jail for, you know, doing the thing with the giving, with the pudding pops, with the Quaaludes.
I'm not even entirely sure what impression that's supposed to be, but you just sound complicated, okay? Which also is an implication that you're full of shit, so I just... I can't.
Well, I have,
okay,
well, I have been taking...
That has been thrown down, bestowed upon us.
Yep.
From our gray goddess, Trisha.
Uh-huh.
Okay.
Yep.
The goddess of Trish has bestowed upon us the gift of shade.
Uh-huh.
It is thick.
Yep.
Make sure to dilute it a little bit.
Yep, that's not... Yeah, that wasn't exactly one of the things that was brought to the manger on Christmas, but yeah, we now have shade.
Well, y'all have... Any shows that y'all like so much that you wouldn't want to be brought back?
Oh, wow. That's actually a good question.
I don't want Prince of Bel-Air to come back. I love Fresh Prince of Bel-Air. Don't bring it back, because every fucking time, like, that's the thing now. Will Smith is always trying to put his bitch-ass kid into everything he's doing. Okay?
Yeah.
He's a little special fucking cupcake.
Yep.
I don't like him. He can kiss my ass. And I get it. Okay. Oh.
But really, don't hold back, Iggy. Tell us how you really feel.
He can kiss. First of all, how the fuck do you show up in an old white Batman suit to a wedding? What the fuck is wrong with you? Okay. What the fuck is wrong with you?
I think it's that he thought he was being cool, and he doesn't have, and there's nobody in his entourage to kind of pull him back and go, dude, just no.
Because he doesn't have an entourage, okay? So he's over here in his daddy's shadow trying to be relevant, okay? And a fresh friend of Bel-Air were to come back, I know that Will Smith would probably agree. Well, can my son, you know, can James come through?
Yeah, no.
You know,
although,
and then they'll be like,
although I think,
I mean, sure, I guess we could, maybe, yeah.
Yeah.
Ruined.
Well, first of all, if Will Smith was willing to come back to do weekly TV, then yeah, he probably would drag his kids in and just have them be like Will's kids. Honestly, I wouldn't want to see it back. Well, see, I wouldn't want to see Fresh Prince back for the same reason I wouldn't want my choice to come back. My choice would be News Radio. I love News Radio. I thought it was hilarious. I don't want to see it back. For the first reason is the same reason I don't want to see Fresh Prince back. With Fresh Prince, Uncle Phil is gone. And one of the things that made the show was the back and forth between Will and Uncle Smith. You know, and Uncle Phil, sorry. You know, that made the show. That was one of the things that made the show. Without him there, I don't want to know what replaces it. You know, because chances are it's not going to be anything that is that, you know, it's not going to be something that will, you know, that will work as well. with news radio, the first reason is just like how Uncle Phil is gone, Phil Hartman is gone, and I feel like mm-hmm. the show, when Phil Hartman died right before the last season of the show, it took something away. You know, I know that they tried to bring in John Lovitz to replace him, but it just wasn't the same. It didn't have the same feel. You know, it just couldn't work without him.
Yeah, I definitely catch that drift really well. I mean,
yeah.
One thing that they can do, one thing that I appreciate fully, is that they did not bring back Boy Meets World. They did not bring back Boy Meets World.
Well,
they brought it back
World.
It is Girl Meets World, okay?
Yeah.
And then you get to have that taste of, like, there's Corey and Topanga together, and then here's Sean popping in to basically show, like, yeah, they're still all together. All of them are still together. It's just that, you know, we're just, life goes on. And I can accept that, and I like that, you know. And then Mr. Feeny, okay?
Yeah.
And then you still got, you know, it moving on. It's more like a nostalgia that is being satisfied with reality and, you know, forward momentum.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's not like, okay, well, let's see what Corey and Topanga are doing now, and it's all about Corey and Topanga and Sean and Eric and Feeny and whatever. You know, I love the fucking brought back Minkus. Fuck him. Faggot.
Yep.
But anyway.
Trish, what show would you not want to see back?
Ooh.
Like, you love it, but you don't want to see it back.
Geez, that's a hard one. I don't know. At first I was going to say Home Improvement, but actually I would love to see that come back.
I think right now everybody's trying to focus on Last Man Standing instead.
Frasier.
Frasier! Yes!
I love Frasier. I
love it.
Frasier.
Mm-hmm.
Loved it. But it doesn't need to come back. It's done everything they can do.
Well, also, I think it would be
kind
of, and it would be kind of sad because we had Frasier introduced in Cheers, and then he had his own show for, like, what, a decade? Over a decade? It would be kind of sad to bring it back and see everybody frozen, you know, instead of growing on. And not to mention, we just lost John Mahoney, so, again, the real world kind of makes it hard to do it because what's Frasier without the dad? You know,
exactly.
Without the dad doing all that down-to-earth stuff. Like, it wouldn't, it just would not work. There'd be something missing. And if you try to pull in, like, a fill-in character, it just would not feel the same.
For the love of God, do not bring back Third Rock from the Sun. Okay? Please, don't do it.
I think, fortunately, one of the things about the shows that we've mentioned, and, you know, whether they come back or not, one of the things that might be a blessing in disguise is that there are individuals on these shows that it would be really hard to get them to come back to do this. You know, Will Smith, whether we like it or not, is someone who's considered an international superstar. I don't think you could, you know, it would, I don't know what it would take to get him, you know, for somebody to come up to him and go, hey, you know, do you want to come back and do weekly TV? His response would probably be a hell nah. You know, he'd probably be like, oh, hell nah. No. I want to make, like, you know, huge amounts of money doing, you know, action movies and, playing the same thing over and over again. But, you know.
I feel like if the scripts are satisfactory to his liking, he would do it. Especially if his character is like Will, but now as an Uncle Phil type character. As like a passing of the torch type thing. I feel like he would definitely come back for that.
Yeah, if he could, you know, that's actually an interesting idea. I don't know if he could pull that off.
In a perfect world,
though.
At least.
Yeah, in a perfect world. But I see, it's like, no offense to Will Smith, but I just do not see him being able to pull an Uncle Phil type character. He would probably just end up being. I don't know.
I feel like
I'm skeptical. I'm skeptical, but maybe, you know, maybe. Something, though, you know, we do talk about torch passing and we talk about, you know, passing itself. I did, though, you know, we're talking about nostalgia. We're talking about days gone by. I did, though, want to take part of the show, you know, to kind of talk about this. At the beginning of last week's show, I did kind of send out some thoughts and prayers to actor, voice actor, comedian, performer Chuck McCann. He was in the hospital for heart problems. Unfortunately, the next day, or like late last Saturday, he passed away. You know, age 83. And I just, like, for me, I was just like, oh, man. You know, this is unfortunate. I mean, 83, it's a long life, but I felt the way I feel a lot, you know, when you have some of the actors and performers pass away. It could just be me being an old fart, but I feel like there are some of these people that when they pass away, we lose something. You know, something gets lost that can't come back. In this case, especially for Trish and I, Chuck McCann, you know, he did voice acting, and he was part of a lot of stuff from our childhood. You know, for example, DuckTales, the original DuckTales.
Ooh.
He was the voice of Duckworth, Scrooge's butler. He was also the voice for two of the Beagle Boys. Okay, as far as the comic book world is concerned, in the 90s, there was a Fantastic Four cartoon that lasted two seasons. He was the voice of the Thing. And he did it perfectly, like, in my opinion. He was, like, the perfect voice, especially because if you know anything about the Fantastic Four and the Thing, he was, you know, like, the Thing is this... You know, he was raised like in, you know, like, you know, he's a New Yorker. He's basically this prototypical New Yorker who has like superpowers. And Chuck McCann, one of the go-to voices that he has is this, you know, this kind of, you know, New York, you know, kind of tough guy like that. And he used that for the Thing, and it just worked. It was just great. And, you know, I think he used variations of that in Powderpuff Girls. He was the Amoeba Boys. So he used that.
Oh, okay.
He was one of the henchmen in the show Tailspin. I think he was this large guy named Dump Truck. You know, who's basically the stereotypical kind of lug, you know, giant lug. Like, he's huge, he's strong, but his brain is the size of a walnut. And I think I'm being insulting to walnuts, but yeah, you know, if you heard his voice, you'd recognize, like, he had this voice that was instantly recognizable, and you know, it was just like, wow, it was one of those fun voices to listen to. He was also a voice in G.I. Joe for like the second season. He voiced the character of Leatherneck, and I think one of the highlights of season two just has to be his character, Leatherneck, and another Joe, Wetsuit, who's a Navy SEAL, just the two of them throwing pot shots at each other. Like, they were friends, but they loved to throw pot shots at just each other and each other's branches. You know, it's like Wetsuit was Navy SEAL, and Leatherneck would say something like, yeah, why don't you just go swim in a lake, Wetsuit? The Marines have this. You know, or Wetsuit would probably, like, throw something back, and it's like, listen, Jarhead, I'll call you when I need you to hit something with a hammer instead of thinking, you know. And it's like you could tell the two are friends, but that this is their routine, just throwing shade at each other. So that just made it for me. Just stuff like he used to have a spot on, almost uncanny impression of like Laurel and Hardy. Trish, what was it that we saw like last weekend? You know, like after the thing that, Dick Van Dyke posted.
Yeah, it was that like a little short sketch that was on this old talk show. I can't remember the name of the talk show, but where it was Chuck McCann and Dick Van Dyke doing a parody of Laurel and Hardy.
And yeah, it was
funny.
Yeah, I remember it was they were doing They're doing something called the vacuum cleaner sketch.
Yeah. And it was they did Laurel and Hardy to show what, you know, vacuum cleaner salesman would have been like in that time, and then they did one that was supposed to be a more modern time, but it was the Honeymooners. But I guess that was the modern right then. So
yeah.
Yeah, it was funny.
Yeah, and it was just what was hilarious about it was just, well, first of all, Dick Van Dyke did, I think, he was a great sidekick because he was also like the, you know, Art Carney and Stan Laurel. You know, he did it. He was perfect. The way that Chuck McCann transformed into Jackie Gleason and, you know, and Hardy are just, it was just, wow. It's like you have to do a double take. And actually something I would recommend, I know that Netflix had it as part of their DVDs. I don't know if it's streaming, but something to actually check out is this movie that Chuck McCann did, like, I think it was 70s or so, and it's called The Projectionist. It's like this, it's almost kind of an unknown film, but it's kind of funny because, like, he basically plays a projectionist at a movie theater, and he kind of, that life, kind of, that, you know, that job kind of gets into his life, and he just daydreams, you know, based off this. The movie was actually the first thing that, you know, the first film that Rodney Dangerfield ever did. So that Chuck McCann's film actually gave us Rodney Dangerfield. One of the funny things though is Rodney Dangerfield is actually supposed to be the villain of the piece. You know, he was actually the antagonist. He plays, like, in the real life of the movie, he played the theater owner who's just constantly, like, he's just constantly making life miserable for everybody. You know, he was ragging at the guy behind the candy counter for not putting enough salt in the popcorn. He sits there and he tries to put dandruff, like, you know, just take dandruff from, like, the usher's lapels. He's like, you know, this means dismissal. The other funny part is there was like a, throughout the film, you have one of the daydreams is the main character pictures himself as, like, this hero, you know, from, like, you know, kind of the 30s and 30s and 40s serial type adventures. You know, this
Buck Rogers.
Right. Kind of like this Buck Rogers, you know, Batman, Green Hornet type of hero called Captain Flash. And then Rodney Dangerfield as this villain called the Bat. And they do something. It's kind of like, they do something where, you know, there's at one point where it's like both people have, like, you know, both people try to raise armies, and, you know, you have old footage of John Wayne, you know, and there's Captain Flash bringing in John Wayne and the cavalry, and the Bat uses, like, the KKK, you know, just this old, you know, just weaving in old footage like that. And it just, it comes off. I will admit it's not a knee slappingly funny film. Like, it's not one of those where it's like roll around on the floor, but it's still, like, a funny, warm film, you know, especially, watching Chuck McCann's character in, like, the reality of the film, trying to woo this woman, that this mystery woman that he likes. So, you know, it's a fun film. I mean, I would recommend it. I would recommend seeing it at least once. You know, it was one of those gems that I kind of discovered. You know, I think part of what helps is I had a book on actors' first roles, and it had Rodney Dangerfield talked about The Projectionist, and I'm just like, okay, I gotta find this. And when I finally found it on Netflix, on the DVD service, I'm like, okay, I'm gonna go for this. I'm gonna watch it. And I was like, wow, this is a cute little movie. But what about Trish? What, I mean, I don't know, when you think of Chuck McCann, like, what comes to your mind?
I honestly don't really know what he's all done.
Yeah, it's, well, he did, like I said, he did DuckTales. He did DuckTales. He was Duckworth, the, you know, Scrooge's butler, you know, two of the Beagle Boys. You know, you probably, he was that one henchman in Tailspin Dump Trucks. So you probably, like, I wouldn't be surprised if you probably have seen him. You just didn't realize it. I know he did. He was in two Mel Brooks movies, but like in bit parts. Like he was a. It says that he was a villager in Robin Hood Men in Tights, and also that he was an innkeeper in Dracula Dead and Loving It. Looking at this, I would probably imagine he was probably one of the villagers at the beginning of Men in Tights. You know, the ones that yell at Mel Brooks for all the flaming arrows. And then Dracula Dead and Loving It. God, I have not seen that movie since the first time since I rented it from Blockbuster and, you know, and just didn't enjoy it as much. But he was probably in the beginning as well. God, it's like he's just one of these that you probably have seen him somewhere. You just didn't realize it. And then once you see it, you're like, oh, yeah, that was him. You know, I already see like his name. I kind of see his name attached to an episode or two of Fantasy Island. Oh, and he did a couple of episodes in The Love Boat, too. So, yeah, he does seem as I look at his resume, I kind of see he seems like one of these that guest starred in a ton of stuff. Fantasy Island. Yep, he was in an episode in February 1979. His character's name was Whoopi Hoover. And the episode was entitled The Stripper and the Boxer. Yeah, I don't think he was the stripper in this case. he may have had something to do with the boxer, but yeah, I don't think he was the stripper in this case. I mean, oh God, what channel, Trish, what channel was it that was showing the Fantasy Island reruns?
Oh, geez, I don't know. Wasn't it the,
Was it Hallmark? Was it the Hallmark?
No, it wasn't Hallmark. No, it wasn't Hallmark. It's like, it was like MGM station.
Yeah,
it
was one of those that had commercials. Because I know they still had commercials. but, yeah. Now, something that I found out, I heard this and I'm like, wow, that is just, that's the universe being creepy. I found out that there was an episode of DuckTales that I think, the new DuckTales, that came out last weekend, or at least close to last weekend, and it actually had, see, because the new DuckTales, Duckworth has been, was like nowhere to be found. I think a lot of his stuff got taken up by Miss Beakley. But they finally did have Duckworth in the most recent episode as a ghost. You know, I remember I was kind of drawn to that because I posted there's a Disney group that Trish and I are a part of on Facebook called Disney Dorks.
Right.
I shared with them the news about Chuck McCann passing, and somebody was like, "Wow, that's kind of ironic given the episode that aired this week," and I'm like. I read that and I'm like, okay. So I looked it up and yeah, I found out that the episode had to deal with like Duckworth as a ghost. And I'm looking at this and I'm like, wow. Wow. That is just, that's the universe just being freaky. Like I just didn't even know how to react when I read that. I was like, wow. That is just, see, and there's a part of me, I don't know. There's a part of me that wants to find the episode, and there's another one that's like I don't know if I want to. Like, I, you know, do I watch the episode or is it going to kill me? You know, is it going to, you know, is it going to hit me like right in the heart? I don't know.
Right.
What do you think?
Right in the childhood.
Yeah. What do you think, Trish? You know, do you, you know, should we try to find the episode or should we just be like, let it go? Like, don't try to look it up.
I don't know. Depends on how badly you really want to see it.
Yeah. I do know, though, that, like, for example, you know, we talk about nostalgia and stuff. There's the, so that you have Star Trek, you have Star Trek The Next Generation. I know that the first episode they had, the first episode they did have a cameo by DeForest Kelly as Dr. McCoy at 135 years old. You know, it's a very touching scene. It's a great little, you know, it's a great little cameo. The thing is, though, is ever since DeForest Kelly passed away in real life, that scene just takes on like a new meaning for me. You know, it takes on, you know, it doesn't, you know, where before it was a, you know, before the cameo was like this fun little thing, very, you know, after he passed away, every time I watch it, it feels also like, you know, I just get reminded that DeForest Kelly is gone and that this is, you know, other than the Star Trek 5 and 6, this is like one of the last times we see him in character. And it just, I don't know. It's just, I don't know how to like, I don't know like how to describe it.
Yeah.
Did you feel the same way along with Spock as well?
You know
with,
what?
Was it Beyond? Yeah, it was Star Trek Beyond.
Star Trek Beyond. I thought Star Trek Beyond, I did, I mean, I, with that, that kind of tribute to Leonard Nimoy, I did like that they had at least one shot of like the original crew, you know, it was
mm-hmm.
nice that was there. And actually something also that kind of takes on like a new significance. There was an episode of Next Generation called Sarek, which had his dad. That actually came out like a year or two, like a season or two before they were able to get Nimoy on the show for that two-parter. And it was something, it's something that, you know, Mark Leonard is another, like, I think Mark Leonard, the guy who plays Sarek, actually passed away a little after the Spock two-parter aired. And,
mm-hmm.
you know, the episode Sarek, it's a pretty powerful episode because you have Sarek as like this aged ambassador, this celebrated personality in the Federation. And he is affected by pretty much what we could call, you know, the Vulcan equivalent to Alzheimer's,
mm-hmm.
you know? So the part of the episode is the fact that he's trying to, you know, finish this one job, you know, it's this one negotiation that will be like, this is going to be the cherry on the top. This is going to be, you know, his career will end on a high note, but here he is with this illness that's even starting to affect the rest of the crew. So,
mm-hmm.
you know, and then it's like his last appearance, his very last appearance. Sarek showed up like in the first episode of the Spock two-parter in Next Gen, and it's Sarek pretty much on his deathbed. You know, he's like in the last, you know, he's in the last stages of this. So, you know, you have this character, you know, this actor, his last act in this character is to play him just towards the end. And it's really, I mean, it's one of these things. It's a powerful scene, but also very heartbreaking. And
mm-hmm.
it's weird watching it like now, knowing that, you know, this was the actor's last appearance as the character. And it just, it's like, and I also have to applaud, I do have to applaud the makers of Next Generation that, you know, they bring, you know, they brought back a supporting character from the original series. And the fact that they brought him back, but it wasn't like, yes, it's like, hey, everybody, remember Sarek? Remember he was part of that episode of the original series? Remember he's shown up in the movies? You know, remember how cool he is? That they brought him back, but they brought him back in this way. That they kind of said, look, everybody has fond memories of Sarek, but Sarek is a living thing. And living things do kind of reach that point where it's like, there is a point at which, you know, our memories can also be, you know, affected by the fact, you know, we have the memories of them, we have how we perceive them, but then sometimes real life kicks in and it's like what we remember them as, you know?
Right.
And I just always thought it's like that. That's why that's one of those episodes that, in recommending people checking out Next Generation, I'm like, you should watch this episode, you know, cause yeah, you have a link to the original series and it's handled in a way that it's like, wow, you know, this is something different. You know, this isn't remember this from the original show. Oh, look, now they're back. You know, now it's like, yeah, we remember Sarek and you know, he's not what we remember, but we can honor him, you know? So that that's cool. So I kind of wonder, I mean,
yeah,
spinning it around to DuckTales, I kind of wonder if, like, you know, if I watch the episode, you know, will it be something that's like, okay, yeah, it's not Chuck McCann as Duckworth. It's the voice actor does it as David Kay instead. But is it going to be something that I'm going to be like, okay, you know, this is a great, great way to bring back a classic character. I mean, you were gonna say something, Zion?
Oh, yeah. Sorry.
that's okay.
Can you repeat what you said? My phone cut off real slightly.
That's fine. I was just saying that. Yeah, maybe I will check out the DuckTales episode because maybe it will be. I mean, while it's not the same voice actor, while it's not Chuck McCann, you know, maybe just the way that it's done will feel like it's honoring the character that came before. And, you know, I'll still take something from it, you know, and I'll have kind of the same feelings of having McCoy on Next Gen or, you know, Sarek in his appearances.
Right. Yeah. I just wanted to just talk about that Sarek episode. I just really like the ending that Spock gets it in directly, mind meld with his dad through Picard.
Oh yeah. Yeah. That is, and we kind of don't see the mind meld, but it's still nice to know that Spock gets to have at least one more experience with his dad, mm-hmm. even if it's through a proxy. But I mean, Trish, I know you haven't had a chance to speak for a while. Is there anything that kind of brings up these feelings? You know, that you get these feelings, like just looking at something now and knowing what happens in real life, you know, it just changes the scene for you.
Oh, I don't know. I'm not sure.
Well, I know that.
I'm sorry. I don't know. My mind's a blank right now. I can't think of anything.
That's fine. Well, okay. Let me see if I can help you in that regard. I know that you and I have been watching Cheers on Netflix,
uh-huh.
And we started from the beginning, like we started from season one, and yeah, Woody Harrelson kind of got his break on Cheers, but he replaced essentially, like his character Woody replaced another character, the coach, and coach's actor
yeah.
passed away. I know you've said that you really didn't watch Cheers like when it began when you were younger, but what is it like? I mean, how do you feel watching the first two, you know, the first couple of seasons, seeing the character of Coach and then knowing, you know, what happens like in real life?
I guess it made me a little sad actually when when he was on there, because it was just like, especially when I knew it was getting close to the, to when he passed away, you know, just made me, you know, and it sounded like it was a big surprise to everybody when he died. So, you know, I mean, I don't know if he keeping something secret from everybody or, you know, I don't know. Or I'm not even sure how he died, if it was a heart attack or what, but.
I remember I looked it up. I looked it up, and I can't remember the exact details, but he did get ill. He did catch ill. I remember reading there was one episode that got taped where he couldn't participate, but he could watch like rehearsals from the bleachers. And, you know, Shelley Long was quoted, like I think on the DVD or something, about how she looked up and there he was. And it's like she looked up again and he was gone. So I think that he got ill, but then when finally he passed away, it took everybody, like everybody knew he was ill, but when it finally happened, it's like they were not ready. Like that's what it sounds like. I mean, at least that's what I'm picking up, you know.
I can imagine it must have been kind of similar, like when Phil Hartman died on news radio, you know?
Yeah. Although that one was like super tragic because that was like, who can see that coming? You know, because it's one thing to get ill and die. It's another thing to, you know, to have your wife snap. And next thing you know, you're reading murder-suicide. And it's like, what?
You know, we actually just went through this with, not nostalgia, but just with a recent show with NCIS Los Angeles. You know, Granger, we knew he had passed in real life. And so watching him on that show and just, you could see that he was very ill and just wondering when was his last episode coming, you know?
Yeah. See, and it's like, that's the thing. Cause it's like, I remember we watched those episodes and, you know, he was slurring his words and he seemed slower. And I just remember like, you know, asking you and Billy, you know, as we're watching, I'm like, is he sick in real life? Like, you know, I heard that and I heard the slurring and I'm just like, whoa, you know, is there something we should know? So yeah. And then seeing, you know, and then hearing about it and then seeing him still on the show and just wondering, okay, when is it going to run out? I do have to say though, I got to give the show credit for how they handled it. That they just had him go off into the sunset. You know, they had him disappear, leave a letter, and then just go off into the sunset, you know, and then just, you know, ride off. So that, you know, it was, to me, it just felt, you know, it's like, it felt like all kinds of respect, you know. Like, okay, let it, you know, let's do it quietly.
Yeah, then they finally did, you know, the other episode, they did finally acknowledge that he had died.
Yeah. Yeah.
So.
But also that he had spent like his last days in peace, you know?
Yeah.
So it's like, okay, you know, it's like, yeah, we know he's dead. Let's just acknowledge it. Let's just close the door, but let's do it like in this nice way, you know, because we don't need it all dragged out again.
Yeah.
You know, we don't need to bring the emotion out again. I mean, this, yeah, it's actually funny. I should have that as like the last thing that we say in the episode because, it's nostalgia. That's one of the things that's at the root of nostalgia, just the emotions that can come out, you know, the fact that you see this from, you know, from your childhood or, you know, from long ago and you're like, wow, I remember this. Wow, I've got some good memories of this, you know, and it's something that, you know, it's just something that I think it's nostalgia. I mean, I don't know. The more I think about it, it's like it's neither good nor bad. It can be used, like, it can be used for both, but it works best when it's used for good. You know, when it's used to kind of create a happy memory, you know, when you take something wonderful and, you know, just use that happy memory to kind of give yourself, you know, just little bits in life where it's like, wow, yeah.
Real quickly, where do you think Disney fits in there, the good side or the bad side, with Star Wars at the moment?
Wow.
Good.
Yeah, I would say good. I would say good. Disney for the most, I mean, say what you will about the manufactured quality of Disney. As far as nostalgia is concerned, it is, I think it's always fallen on the good side of things. As far as Star Wars is concerned, I think we have, I will say this, keep your question, Zion, because mm-hmm. this sounds like something that can have its own episode, you know, because I wouldn't, you know, we, in the time that we have left, I don't think we could really answer that question satisfactorily. So, you know what, this is going to be a few, you know, I'm marking this down. We will do a future episode where we will talk about Disney and Star Wars and, you know, the good, the bad, and the porg, right about now, I think this is not, you know, this is, I don't think we could really answer it, in a way that, that just would really kind of do it justice.
All right.
So, yeah, but having said that, I think I am going to put, this episode, you know, the nostalgia episode, we're going to put it in the family photo album and we're going to put it on the shelf to, you know, to pull out at a later date and, you know, have fond memories of, you know, listening back to the episode, you know, especially, when Iggy popped in briefly, cause you know, it's not a party unless Iggy comes in to throw shade and, you know, be her usual self. But, As far as what else we have planned, I will say that next week, well, you know what? There are mushy feelings that are associated with this episode, and we're going to have some mushiness next week as well, because you know what? The subject is romantic comedies. That was actually, and I know she probably would not want to have credit given to her for this, but yeah, Iggy suggested for something a little different that we tackle rom-coms. So that's what we're going to do. You know, we're going to be talking romantic comedies. We'll pull out some that we like. We'll pull out some that we hate. And you know what? We're just going to let emotions take their course. So chances are there'll be a lot of stuff of like, oh man, yeah, that was just so sweet. Oh, I love it. And then others of like, oh my God, what a sappy piece of shit. Oh God. Or, you know, or even like, no, she would never be with him. This is the only reason that movie was made, was to put this actress and that actor together. Okay. And you see how it did not work. So you know what? Screw that. Yeah. I imagine a lot of that is going to be going on. Trish, I'm sure you have like a huge list of both, don't you?
Oh yeah.
You're already writing stuff down, aren't you? The minute I said something, you probably pulled out the notepad and were like, okay, this is a good one. This is a bad one. This is a good one. This is Katherine Heigl. You're definitely in the bad section.
Uh-huh.
You are never getting out of there. But yeah, I have some of my own. I wouldn't even be surprised if we have overlap, Trish. But yeah, that's going to be next week. And you know what? In 2 weeks is going to be the premiere of Avengers Infinity War, which, by the way, we are all awesome. I'm looking forward to that. I am like, I every time I see a poster or a teaser or, you know, like a trailer, I'm like, my soul is ready. Bring it on. But yeah, in 2 weeks, because, you know, we like to be nice and give you a week or two to see it. We are going to celebrate the premiere of Infinity War. We're going to be doing a Road to Infinity War show. So, you know what? First we have the love, and then we talk about Thanos coming to kill us all. So, you know what? Just look, mark your calendars, because the next two Saturdays are going to be awesome. We're going to be keeping it reals. With that, I am your host, as ever, Eduardo M. Fryer. And with me is my wonderful, beautiful wife.
Patricia Fryer.
Yep. And joining us for the first time, popping his Keeping It Reals cherry. He survived his first episode. Take a bow.
Don Kuros.
Yep. take a bow. Let's all give a big hand for him. He survived. Zion, congratulations. You have shown how to keep it real.
I have survived. This is
you survived.
New adventures.
You shall survive. Right. Yep. And with that, we're out. We are no longer broadcasting. Great job. Cool. Thank you for coming on, Trish. Thank you,
yep.
As usual. And Zion, you are now official. You are now official. You are now a member of Keeping It Reals. You have,
awesome.
Yep, you have
glad
made your
here.
Introduction, dude. And as far as next week, I mean, if you want to come on, you know, you are more than welcome. You don't have to if this is not your thing, but yeah, but if you want to come on and, you know, talk about what your favorite romantic comedies are, please, you know, it's you're now part of the family. The door is open.
I definitely will.
Yep. But yeah, and we're definitely doing, yeah, the Road to Infinity War is going to be awesome. I'm actually talking right now with Jeremy Raddick about coming on that one.
Oh, awesome.
So, you know, it should be great. We're probably, I'm going to let you know right now, the review of the movie itself is probably not going to be until the 12th of May. Because,
okay.
Yeah, we usually, what we try to do is we try to give listeners like a week or two so they can see the movie so that, you know, they don't like listen in and like, oh my God, spoilers! In this particular case, we're not doing it on the 5th because the 5th is Cinco de Mayo. I know Iggy has something and she doesn't want to miss out talking about Infinity War. So we're doing something special for Cinco de Mayo. You know, we're gonna do some Mexican film stuff. So it should be fun. I think I'm going to bring in some Guillermo del Toro. We're definitely going to have Robert Rodriguez. And then, of course, because, you know, got to have the Disney, we're going to be doing Coco. So,
right.
Yeah, that's just something to look forward to. But, yeah, thanks for coming on, man. Whenever you come on, yeah, just call in. You know, just call in with your phone. You know, I can, you know, that's why I asked for what your number was, because I have them all written down. So whenever somebody comes in, I'm like, oh, it's Iggy. So then I can, you know, pop them in and I can properly, you know, I can give them a proper introduction. So it's not just, who are you? Oh, yeah, you're supposed to be on the show. Yeah. All right. So thank you so much. Trish, I'll be downstairs in a minute, Trish. I'll just wrap things up here. But yeah, I'll be downstairs. And I am, I'm probably going to hit the fridge because I'm hungry.
Okay. Talk to you guys later.
See you soon.
Bye.
All right. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Bye-bye.